If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
We're obviously fascinated with America, not least because of your president, because we can't understand how you can vote somebody out, but they won't go, which is just fascinating. And also, we're locked down again. We're all in tears for COVID, and London's been locked down, etc. Mm-hmm. And so, what's it like? What's it like for you over there? What kind of reaction have people had, and how are they bearing up?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I could give you any insight on that situation. All I know is that, it's hard when you feel like you live in a crazy world. Holding on to some semblance of sanity feels difficult. More and more difficult.
Really difficult.
So I just feel like we live in kind of like the upside down now, and I'm just trying to navigate in accordance with what feels like, you know, a good way of living. I don't know. But that situation, yeah, I don't know. If I'm invited to in terms of the president situation, if I was not invited to a party, or if somebody didn't want me at the party, I would be gone like that. You know, I'm not really trying to fight to stay around. It's uncomfortable. I would feel uncomfortable, but I feel a lot, and not everybody feels that much. You know, they're like, oh, I make you uncomfortable. Good. I'm going to double down on that. You know, so there's that. And then, okay. So as far as like in terms of COVID and everything, we had like an intense lockdown, a real true stay at home order, you know, in like April or like May, something like that. I think it was April. But since that, you know, it's been more like, tiers of things rolling out. And for me, getting tested a lot, because I've managed to work a couple times this year, which has been a complete miracle in terms of, I know how difficult everything has been as far as financial stuff is concerned, but I've been really lucky to get some jobs. But getting tested all the time, and a lot of hanging out outside, if you hang out with people at all. So far, we can still go outside and walk around, but really not supposed to do anything with anyone outside of our household. So,
do you know what? I've got to apologize, because they said you're going to interview Madeline, and so I spent the whole day. I know more about you than you know.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's awful. I feel like.
I can interview you about me then.
I feel like a stalker of, you know, let's say Twitter or Instagram, and she's in Bliss. I've got to ask about Bliss, and I've got to. And to be fair, you've been busy.
I have, yeah, and I just worked on something else.
I watched you and you tying up the fella, and. I've not seen Perry. I'm dying to see Perry Mason. You're in Perry Mason. You know, Bliss has been out. You've had a lot. Oh, and then of course, hang on. I want to ask you. You've got Quarantine 2020, which obviously nobody's seen yet, with your sister.
That was just more like that's an at-home project. I don't know if anyone will ever see that, but yeah, I'm constantly trying to do stuff with my sisters, because they're so insanely talented, and
brilliant.
I believe in them so much. I put Yvonne in my first short film I ever directed, because she's
warm human magic. Tell us about it.
So that one's just all about loneliness. I mean, it's very relevant right now. I should probably just put it out on YouTube so everyone can just watch that. It's about being lonely in LA and trying really hard to connect. And then also that thing inside of us that kind of sabotages what we want. Like we both want to go towards something so intensely, like let's say there's a potential love interest or whatever, and you want to go towards it, but then there's something inside us that also blocks us from it. Our ability to sabotage our own happiness is something that I'm fascinated by. Yvonne is amazing in that. And yeah, I don't know. We're just writing and doing stuff. Yvonne was just writing on a show called Our Flag Means Death, which hasn't come out yet, but Taika Waititi is set to direct that. So I'm just insanely proud of them, and I want to make stuff together. But yeah, quarantine has definitely made that more difficult. So
where does it come from, the talent in the family and the acting talent, the show off talent? Where's it come from?
I think that we just don't have any other skill sets. Well, Yvonne, she's very literary. She's been reading. I mean, she read War and Peace when she was like 8 years old. She's somewhat of a young genius, and always has been that way, and a brain in that capacity. She's just very literary. She's an avid, voracious reader. So I think that storytelling is just in her. In terms of me and Vanessa, I think Vanessa just is creative. You know, she's always been dancing and making things, and it probably comes from our mom. I mean, my mom was a dance instructor, and she was in plays, and she wrote a book on how to run a dance studio. She was just very much like a Renaissance woman. So I think it comes from her, basically. Yeah.
Do you like acting? I know it sounds a silly question.
I love acting. When I get to do it, I love just getting to create a character and live in that, especially if it's a fun character, that you get to be the type of person who makes someone else uncomfortable. I'm not that person, but it's nice to inhabit for a little while somebody who can hold their space and their seat in a more aggressive way, since I personally shy away from that. It's nice to, I just did a few audition tapes, and one of them was a character where I'm really being a bit aggressive with the other girl in the scene. And I would never do that in real life, but it's really nice to have an outlet. You know, I think that's why people love, like I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, because it's like we all have a little bit of Larry David in us, where we're kind of like, actually, I have a problem with what you did, and I'm going to tell you about it. But we can't in our society like get away with that. So film and TV right now are really like necessary for our mental health. I mean, I think that became so tangible this year for me, where if I didn't have my Criterion Collection subscription that I was actually stealing from my sister, if I didn't have hers that I could use, I would have felt a lot more disconnected than I felt. I felt very inspired during a lot of the pandemic time, because I was watching, you know, the Three Colors movie by Kieslowski, and like just educating myself on cinema and really fabulous performances. So I don't know where it comes from. It's what we've always known. I mean, we've been doing it since we were all little, so we only got the thing. We have no other skills.
It's like me. It's exactly like me. I try and pretend I know something about, but I don't. It says on my passport, television presenter, and everybody goes and laughs when they see it. And I just think, Jesus, I wish I knew something, but I don't. Anyway, do you perform better on a film set or a TV set where you like the people? Where you get on with the people, or doesn't it affect your performance?
I feel like I do. I mean, wouldn't you say the same thing? If you feel like
definitely.
If you feel like safe and supported, you guys all feel like you got each other's back. I mean, it's a huge relief. I mean, then you don't have that extra worry to navigate. You can focus more on what you're doing, and you also have permission to do your thing, and that other people encourage your greatness and aren't competing for that spotlight. That there's, you know, I feel like that's ego can really gobble up a lot of the creative energy in a room, and like the oxygen in a room, and that spirit of generosity is what feeds a creative moment. It's like the, oh yeah, and then what about this? And then what about that? And it's like everybody is contributing to this pie that just gets tastier and tastier with each new idea. Sometimes it can get complicated and cluttered, but for the most part, it's a building on itself of creative and usually very exciting ideas. So
do you get nervous?
I feel like it helps.
Do you get nervous?
Always, yeah. Yeah, I always get nervous. I always get nervous. I mean, I get less nervous when I'm on a set and when I've kind of got the job, because I'm like, well, they can't get rid of me now. But, you know, having been, you know, I've never been fired, but I have been cut out of things. You know, so you, because when you're the actor, you have such little control. There is a lot of pressure to like do well. And on it, and kind of let go of that in order to do well. It's a complicated like balancing act of different energies. Do you get nervous?
Yeah, I do. Do you know where I get nervous is? I'm patting myself on the back here, but I'm very good live TV. I love live TV. Yeah, when I have to do, the next question to you. You know when they say do a link, you know, a recorded link. If I get it first time, I'm away. But if I stumble over that first one, I've got to do it again. And I've been doing it for years. And I just want to, you see, who did I interview? Oh, we've got loads in common, by the way. I've done loads of interviews with people that you know. We'll talk about this. Go, who was I talking to? Oh, the new film, Mank, the director. I can't remember his name. I should know.
David Fincher?
Yeah, it was David Fincher. Yeah. He did 88 takes. With Ferdinand Kingsley's in it, we spoke to him. Did 88 takes. Now, how would you find that? Or do you prefer a director who goes, "Yeah, nailed it"? Or do you get better with takes? Do you see, I get annoyed as well and frustrated. How do you find it?
I like a lot of takes. I would love to work with David Fincher, or like I feel like I joke and I say like I'm the Stanley Kubrick of self tapes, because I will do 100 takes of something till the point
really?
It's basically madness, but I'll do it until I feel like it's actually good. And if it's not good, I'm not going to send it. The whole thing about the for me, the benefit of a self tape is, yeah, you're going to get annoyed. You might be terrible, but eventually you'll get something that to me, I can be like, okay, I feel comfortable sending that out there as my work and the work that I would like to be represented by. My first take in an audition, and usually an audition where you're like, you get only one take and then they're trying to kick you out of the room as quick as possible. And I'm like already nervous and whatever, is not going to be my best representation of what I can actually do. So I actually do a lot of takes on a self tape, and you don't have that same luxury on most film and TV. But I do feel like I warm up with more takes. Every once in a while, if it's something where I have a very strong instinct, my first instinct will be kind of the best. But that has to do with more like a very clear scene that really can only be played in my mind one way. But I like exploring.
What influence then do you have with a director saying, "No, that was my best take"? When he goes, "No, actually, I like," or she goes, I actually like that."
You don't. You literally don't. You have to also have trust, and you have to let go.
And then, well, I was going to say,
no control over it. It's like, nah, all right. But that was whatever that was. I hope it was good enough.
But then, when you watch it back, or do you like watching yourself back?
I do like watching myself later when it's done. I don't like watching myself in the moment, because sometimes it's helpful if it's like just one little moment that's not working and everything else is working, and you're like, oh, if I just like take a breath before I say that next line, then it'll make sense, you know? And then you're like, okay, if it's a one little technical thing, otherwise I will get into my head about like, oh, I, you know, a million other things that are not helpful for doing a good, for being invested in what you're actually doing. Cause then you'll be thinking too much about yourself in a way that's not necessarily creatively supportive. So.
Does experience help, one, in do you think you're getting better as an actor? And two, are you getting better at letting go and not worrying as much and actually just going, oh, yeah. There you go.
You know, it, I don't know, like definitely experience helps with certain things. I don't know. I'm getting better about letting go. For sure. That's become like basically the theme of the last 3 years of my life is letting go of nearly everything that I, you know, and releasing all kinds of attachments. I don't know, like, it's just such a tricky thing. Like you just want to be good. And so I don't know if that ever kind of goes away entirely. I definitely feel like I've evolved as an actor with experience. So that's helped me tremendously. Like I think about actors in their later years and how they give such wonderful performances because life has beaten them up and they've got emotional wounds that color a performance. And, I have definitely that to offer. It would be nice, you know, but also like, you know, there's something to be said for somebody who comes and they don't have as much of that. And I understand that, like somebody comes new on the scene and they're like, I just booked my first job. And then I just booked another one and they don't even second guess themselves. Their first take is probably their best take, you know? But I don't know that they would have all of the nuance of somebody who has experienced both sides.
Yeah, I go with that. What was I going to say? I had a question in my head. What was I going to say to you? It's gone right out of my head. And it was a good one as well. Go on.
I have a question. Maybe it'll help you think of it.
Go on.
Who are some of the people that we know in common that you've interviewed?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Right. I have got Chris Williams, who punched David Duchovny in the bookshop.
He's great.
Nate, now I don't know whether you crossed over with him. Nate Caudry,
who else?
It was Nate Caudry and Perry Mason. And I've got, Chris O'Shea, who is from where I am in Kent in England, is just joining the cast of You for season 3.
Oh, cool.
That's three people like we vaguely know in common.
I love that. You know, it's a smaller world than we all, you know.
I've got the question. I've got the question.
Go for it.
What is it about you that people like and go, right, let's get Madeline? And do you analyze it? Is it your unbelievable acting skill, obviously? Is it your look? Is it your demeanor? Or haven't you thought about it? Good question, though. Good question.
It's a good question. I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that. You know, as you know, like, inside yourself, I'm always like, how did I get this job? The last job I did, I was like, how the fuck did I get this? Sorry. How did I get this job?
Okay.
You know, I just... I'm always the most surprised person. I have no idea why. I'm told that there is a certain likable quality that I have.
Definitely. That's a one. Definitely.
But I also don't really know. I think if I knew, it wouldn't be there anymore. Like if I hadn't figured out whatever my thing was, I think maybe some of the authenticity would be dissipated about it. So I think it's a bit of a mystery. And I think that that's what works. I don't know. The very fact that I've managed to continue to work for so long just makes me
unbelievable.
Feel like it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Incredible.
And I don't take it for granted. You know? And there's plenty of talented, brilliant people who don't even ever get a shot. Like, it makes me feel sad that the way that the industry is, that there is the next Brad Pitt and the next Julia Roberts, and they might never even get a shot because somebody who has a lot of Instagram followers might get a shot before them. And the industry is very insular in that way.
Yeah,
and that bothers me. I'm like, I want to see fresh talent out there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree entirely. But it goes back to that point. There is something, I'm not just saying it, there is something about you that, you know, they go, why does every casting director, or why do they go, let's get Madeline, which they do. No, you must have something special.
I guess so. I mean, maybe it's just the sheer amount of time. I know that that's special, that there's, I think only maybe maybe only Drew Barrymore has started as young or younger than me. Like my first job, I was 28 months. So, I mean, there's just a level of like comfortability on a set that I have and an understanding of the rhythm of a set that I don't know if you can teach it. It's just innate because I've just, it's a sheer amount of skin in the game that I have. So there's that. And I think I'm honest. I think I'm honest about things. Like I am nervous. I'm a human being. Like, you know, I'm messy and I've made lots of mistakes too. So I feel like there's just I feel like maybe that has something to do with it. I have no idea though. I feel like if I truly got what other people saw about me, maybe that quality might disappear.
Okay. Do you get starstruck?
Only once. Although I've seen people like, I went to the Golden Globes and I was like this close to Angelina Jolie and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And she's so gorgeous. Wow. She's actually smaller in person than you think. She like seems Amazonian, but she's actually smaller in person. And I was on a dance floor one time with Madonna. I think I got a little starstruck with that. I would get more starstruck with, I think, musicians than with actors for whatever reason. One of the most, the time that I most stuck my foot in my mouth was with Mos Def. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
The rapper, he's so like, I am such a fan of him. I'm a fan of Black Star, the band that he had with Talib Kweli, and that I saw him at some charity event and I remember sticking my hand up and like requesting one of his songs and he was like really shocked that somebody knew one of his songs at this particular event. And then I was hanging out dancing with his mom, and then when I got my opportunity to meet him, I was like, I was the one that requested Beautiful Boogeyman, and I could just see him because it was like just like verbal diarrhea. I saw him like kind of like zoom back because it's like, I don't need this. I don't need like a fangirl moment right now. But so that's the most, I think I would get, you know who I'd get really starstruck if I met? And I hope to meet someday because I absolutely just love him and his work changed the entire American culture here. And then he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. But is Dave Chappelle. I think I would be very, very starstruck if I met Dave Chappelle because I think he is one of those artists who refuses to be painted into a corner by the industry. He continues to reinvent and recreate. Like Matthew McConaughey, like his book was fantastic. And he because he didn't see himself as the one thing that everyone else saw him as, he continued to evolve and his evolution was part of his creativity. And I really respect that in both of those people. But you could get starstruck. I don't get starstruck as much with actors because I know, you know, I don't know, because they seem very, the novelty of them, you know, it feels like it wears off rather quickly because they're just humans. And so much of whatever you think about them is truly illusory. It's truly an illusion. So I don't know.
Who was throwing the best shapes on the dance floor, you or Madonna?
I mean, obviously Madonna. The second that like I realized I was dancing next to Madonna, I honestly forgot how to dance. We were dancing to a Madonna song. Obviously she had requested that or somebody did and was like, and me and my sister Yvonne were dancing. All of a sudden we realized like, oh my gosh, there's Madonna. She's grinding on this like hot young guy. And I was just like, I had like the rhythm and then all of a sudden it was like, eh, 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 eh. So I mean, hands down, she killed it. And I was just like, what am I don't know how I'm here right now. It's crazy. So,
do you know what I've written a million things down. I've not asked you one thing about what was your best part. What did you like the best? I haven't asked you anything like that.
Well, whatever you think, I don't care. I don't mind just it being conversational. I kind of like that.
I quite like it too. You see, that fascinates me more. I did see, yeah, let's see what I've got written down here. I can't even read my own writing. I did see, which I thought was quite interesting, was that you were proud. What was the film? Who's it? Where have I got? Let me think. It was. Oh God, I can't find it. I've got it written down somewhere. Hang
Crazy
on.
Eyes?
Oh, no, My Own Love Song, which I really want to go back and watch. As in, yeah. I've, you know, it came out with such a big, and I read you said you were really proud of that, which I could imagine. And it's one that sort of got, it's not really.
I know.
It's not past people. It has. Fantastic.
Yeah. So My Own Love Song was a film. I mean, I beat out really big people for that role. So that was a miracle. It was with Renee Zellweger, Forest Whitaker, Nick Nolte, and Bob Dylan did the soundtrack. And Olivier Dunn was
very emotional.
Yeah. And I thought, I mean, getting that, landing that role and then, you know, doing the film, I thought we're going to be at the Oscars next year because this this thing's great. And it didn't get its moment. I mean, nobody even knows it exists for
yeah,
all
no,
those
it's weird, isn't it?
The moment. It's very weird. It's very weird, but that's how it goes. You know, nothing is a guarantee. You can have the biggest stars in the world, a fantastic script and an amazing director, and things can still not come together.
Mm.
Or not come together for whatever person or not be pushed enough or, you know, not fit some kind of quota, who knows. But I was so proud of it. I was so proud to get to work with all Academy Award winners at a time in my life when I was very lost and I was just trying to honestly grapple with the fact that I even had the job. I was like dealing with like a lot of like, am I even worthy of here? How did this happen? How did I land such an amazing role and an amazing experience? But what was so cool about it for me was working with Forrest and Renee. They're such classy humans. They're just so kind and generous and lovely.
Brilliant.
I mean, Forrest invited me to spend Thanksgiving with his family, you know, because I didn't have anyone to spend Thanksgiving with while we were there.
Oh, nice.
I mean, even the driver didn't invite me to hang out with them for Thanksgiving. And I was just going to go and, you know, feed the homeless and then sit and eat like a frozen dinner in front of my television at the hotel or something. But I got to have a holiday with Forrest and his family and Renee, freaking, she's just, there was, somebody stole my per diem. I know who it was, I'm pretty sure. I think one of the ADs might have stolen it. But anyway, off that set, and I didn't have enough money to do my laundry. Okay.
Oh, no.
And I didn't have clean clothes. And I was like, I literally packed one little tiny roll-on suitcase because when I went to New Zealand one time, my suitcase got lost. So like, I've never checked a bag since basically. But I was in New Orleans for 3 months and it was like the year that it snowed and I just didn't have enough clothes, period. And Renee, on our lunch break, she took my laundry to her apartment and did my laundry for me.
Like, Renee's wake up. Does your laundry? That's magnificent. Did they run though? Did the colors run? Did they all come back pink?
It was absolutely perfect. It smelled great. I was just so. I mean, that's the type of that spirit of generosity and
care. That's brilliant. That's lovely.
And loveliness. That's what I feel like. It's almost not that you can require it of people you work with because there's some brilliant people who are also pretty selfish. But it's so much nicer when you get to have that.
Yeah.
And then you get to also spread stories around that are stories of, you know, these people are at the top of their game and they're also at the top of their humanity. And they shine a light on all of our hearts and make us all want to be better. You know, and I think that that is something that we really can't get enough of these days and need more of. Stories like that. Because there's so many stories of very disappointing actors and people making so much money to play make-believe. And then they're also abusing everyone around them. And it's just, it's unconscionable. I can't, having spent so much time in the industry, I can't believe that people can get away with it, especially now when there's so much transparency about everything. You really can't, you know? So anyway.
Okay. How do you deal with criticism?
Criticism. You know, as best as I can.
Just like me. Yeah. Just like
from who? You know, like it's really like with my sisters. Okay, if they're doing an audition tape with me and they're like, it could be better. It's hard to hear that, but you know what? I would rather have them who they have my best interest at heart and they know that I could do better and push me. I think criticism is necessary to a certain degree, you know, and you have to be flexible about it. You have to be able to be like, okay, you know what? I could do better. I'm going to, you know, take my ego and humble myself and try again. I think it's a part of.
Sorry.
Yes, what? No,
are you the type of person you get nine praises and you get one critique? Do you take the one away or do you go with the nine? One bad one, nine good ones. Okay. Take the one away or do you go, oh no, the nine are good?
Yeah, so the our brains are hardwired to focus on the negative, right? And so that one negative thing, sure, it'll stick in your head. But you have to get better at focusing on whatever the more positive bent is. Otherwise, you just can't continue. And it's all about, you know, doing a hard reset inside yourself and going, you know what, this one thing, if I focus on it and focus on it, that's negative, it will cripple me. So I can take a little bit of that and note it and then, you know, continue on in a more positive direction.
Are you just saying that or really deep down, do you go, he's telling somebody he's been horrible to me?
Sure. I mean, I will cry and it will hurt and it will be terrible, but then you kind of go, okay, I've done my little ruminating and my little, you know, processing my feelings. And then now I can readjust and then just try to continue in a better direction. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the aim, you know, it's like you shoot for the moon, you settle for the stars, right? So you don't always make it because we're humans and the criticism and the critiques, yeah, they hurt you, but they hurt you as much as you let them hurt you. And of course, you can't control the initial sting, but you can control how much you're going to use that against yourself and like beat yourself up with it. You can go, you know what? I forgive myself. I did that in an audition one time where literally I messed up a line and I said out loud, I'm a human and I forgive myself. And I literally feel like it was almost like I deleted it right in the moment. And I was testing for a job and I was, not that that job didn't end up happening because they actually canceled the whole show. It was very sad because they're like, actually, we're not doing this entire show, but you kind of would have been the choice. And so I was like, oh, great. But I think it's important to learn to forgive yourself and let go of all kinds of stuff. So, yeah.
How much traveling have you been able to do in your life? Where have you enjoyed and is that an aim down the line? Is it something that you're keen on or is it just you're too busy?
No, I would love to travel more. I mean, I always have a lot of anxiety around flying. I'm not great at flying, but once I'm there, really
get drunk.
Yeah.
Get drunk the way I do.
But then you have a hangover on the airplane, and that's the worst hangover.
Don't care. Get drunk. It's the only way to do it. I hate it. I'm terrified. Yeah, terrified.
I'm not great. So I went on a road trip this year with some friends, which was awesome and amazing just to get out and experience different things.
Whereabouts?
We drove all across the South. We flew out to Virginia and then drove back across, you know, Tennessee, I don't know, the entire South, went through streets are in between, I forgot. and I was scared when I was there because I saw all the supporters of the, you know, of the orange one. And I was just like, oh, he's going to win again. I was so happy when that didn't happen. And so I was like, wow, so, it was a miracle. The day, huh?
So were we.
What was that? I know. The day after Biden and Kamala were announced, there was a rainbow over my mom's house. And I was just like, I felt like a collective anxiety lift from my body and my soul. And I was just like, oh, we just want somebody who's like a grown up and just kind of just has it sorted, you know? Just, yeah. So anyway, but I've traveled a lot. I've been to New Zealand. I've been to London. I went to London with a film. I've been to Paris. I want to live in Paris so badly, just for a little while.
Let's get a nice house. So do I. I want to. I love it.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. The food is so good.
Rome. Have you tried Rome?
I have not. I need Rome's to go to beautiful. Rome. I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Greece. That yeah. I really want to see the Parthenon. I was always a fan of Greek mythology. So
you want to be Mamma Mia 3 as well, of course. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So there's lots of places I still want to go. I've never even been to Mexico, which is so crazy. It's right here. New Zealand was so beautiful, and I had such a great time there. I got to go when I was 17 years old, or yeah, 17. I had a blast. I made out with lots of New Zealand boys, and boy, oh boy, was I was having a great time. I jumped off a cliff. Like I was being really, you know, 17 year old fun. I was reckless, and it was really awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've traveled a lot, but I would like to travel more. I haven't traveled nearly enough as I would like to, so.
Okay, I've got to ask you, is there anything coming up for you that we don't know about? Bliss, obviously. Is there anything else in the pipeline?
There's Bliss with Owen Wilson and Selma Hayek and Steve
Zissou. Please tell me Owen's a good bloke.
So good. Absolutely lovely and so shy and sweet. And I mean, I only got to work with him for 2 days, but that was heavenly 2 days. I am such a fan of him. I had a vision years ago of working with him, and I was like, man, it'd be so great if I actually did get to. And then I did years and years later, which is so weird. That was an amazing experience. And everybody on that set was like that. You know, I just like generous and kind, you know.
Nice.
Nice.
I like it. I like when people are nice. It makes the world nicer.
100%, 100%, because yeah, it's hard enough. You know what I mean? Like being a human being is hard enough. Being an artist is hard enough. You certainly don't need somebody to make it harder. You know,
you don't
we
need
can all make it easier on each other. Yeah. So, another independent film called Marzipan, and, another thing that I just did, but I can't talk about cause I haven't been announced in it yet. So, a very cool project with really cool actors. And, it was a dream to work on that, which was just, you know, a few weeks ago. So, yeah.
Hey, do you know what?
What?
Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for looking at all the stuff. And I know it feels weird to be a cyber stalker, but it makes me feel like, oh, hey, you know, like, I don't have to do a whole spiel to introduce myself. You have some basis of understanding about where I come from, I guess.
I just like chatting.
Me too. It's nice.
Hey, listen, it's lovely to meet you. We'll watch your career with great interest. Thanks for joining us, and take care as well.
Thank you, Rob. I will. I mean, it's pretty easy to take care when you're stuck inside your house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lovely talking to you. Take care, Madeline.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.